RSM Central's Form Express.
It is time for the Metro Form Express, and boy, it's a busy Metro Form Express coming your way as we concentrate on the Group 1 meetings, including Super Saturday at Flemington, but also the Group 1 meetings and the other codes. And it's time to welcome in Mark Guest. He's ready to go to help us back a winner there at Flemington for Australian Cup Day and also Newmarket Handicap Day. Good morning to you, Mark Guest.
Hello, Gareth. Yes, looking forward to what a day it's going to be. It always is. I remember when it used to be on the Saturday. The Newmarket was the Saturday and the Australian Cup was a Monday, and it used to get crowds of, well, especially late 80s, they were getting crowds of, say, 50,000 on the Monday. Well, I'm probably talking about the Bone Crusher Vera Road race when Dandy Andy upset them. I think there was 50,000 that day. We won't get that on tomorrow.
Yeah, because we can't, basically, because of the COVID restrictions. But I know it's not like the old days there in the 80s and the 90s for Aussie Cup Day. But hopefully we can back a winner, Guest. And it's a terrific betting card, I think. And we need to work out how this track will play in the early part as well, especially down the straight. Do you have any idea how you think it might play, Guesty?
I was thinking down the middle.
Yeah.
Normally this day they're down the middle of the track, and I'm happy for... If the horses I've selected, if they're drawn out a little bit, well, I'll be more than happy to be in that position. A bit similar to last weekend down the straight when they were out in that position. But obviously, we'll have a look and see where they go. I mean, the two-year-old doesn't usually give us the best guide, and LaRoque does look the winner in the first race. But anyway, we'll wait and see how it all pans out. I'm a bit disappointed in some of the field sizes early on. I mean, this is Australian Newmarket Handicap Day, and they've just got these small fields. It's just a bit disappointing. But anyway, we're just going to deal with what we've got at the moment.
All right, then how do we make some money with your specials, Guesty?
Well, one of the small fields, I'm going with number two, Pretty Brazen. I know Odium will be very hard to beat, but Pretty Brazen, it did defeat, it won the Let's Alone defeating Arcadia Queen last preparation. It's had two jump outs, and the most recent one went really well at Terrain. And wasn't far behind Odium in the Empire Rose. First up, got a really good record, Pretty Brazen. I'm going with race three, number two, currently 460.
All right, then where do we go?
I thought Lunacorn, race seven, number seven. I like the way she returned at Caulfield. She's going to improve. She's had one start at Flemington for one victory, and that was a pretty nice win. So I can see her scoring here. So the currently $3.60, Jamie Carr on board, race seven, number seven, Lunacorn.
All right, then the final of your specials, Guesty.
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of time for Miss Guggenheim. She was most unlucky in the Edward Manifold when she got strung up in traffic, and then she went out for a break, came back with that really good run in the Angus Armanesco in that 1400 metre race. So I think getting up to another couple of hundred metres will really suit Miss Guggenheim. And listen to Mick Price, give her some clear air. She's drawn to do that, get back, and then run on. Hopefully, we'll know by race nine whether they can make up ground from back. I'm going with her, race nine, number 10, $6. I think that's not a bad price, race nine, number 10, Miss Guggenheim. The value runners I thought on the day were Zesty Bell in race five, and number eight. Its run down the straight was excellent. Two starts back, and then caught up lane at its next start at Mooney Valley. So you can forgive that run. And on her previous, she'd be right in the finish, defeated Malicorn. And the Defibrillate in the Australian Cup, race eight, number 12, it's $12, and it's not many horses going as well as it. But obviously, 50 stars is going to be very hard to beat. But the Defibrillate, looking to get to Flemington, been racing well at Caulfield, but Flemington, I think the big track will suit it down to the ground. Might need some luck from back, though. Race eight, number 12, the Defibrillate's my other value bet. And just for the record, I think September run and Swatstat will find out the new market.
Love your work, Guesty. Enjoy tomorrow. Hopefully you can back plenty of winners.
We'll be trying, mate. Thanks.
Always great to catch up with this man. Boy's in for a big day tomorrow. I speak of Michael Walker. Good morning to you, Michael. Geez, you've been pretty busy of late, they tell me.
Morning, G. How are you, Cal? Yeah, I have
thanks,
been. I hope you're well.
Yeah, how have you been, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Obviously, with the COVID restrictions, there's not a lot you can do apart from work.
Yep.
Hard with our 15-month-year-old son to do stuff. But, you know, and my partner, my manager, Lauren, and I, we've been working on a project over sort of the past couple of months, just had a lot of time to think and a lot of things to do. And it's something that, you know, represents and benefits a cause close to my heart. And looking to launch it sort of the middle of the year, maybe earlier, just depending how things go. And a little closer to the time, I will discuss it further in depth. And not only mine, my manager and myself, we're really excited about launching it.
Well, that's exciting, Mick. So is it something, obviously, without giving too much away, and we expect the exclusive here on RSN Central when you do announce it, but obviously it gives you something to think about and a passion outside of racing that obviously is close to your heart, and you believe that you might be able to make a difference as well?
Yeah, most definitely. It's something that I've struggled with, family members have struggled with, friends that have struggled with. It's something that represents a struggle that everyone in their day-to-day life struggles with. So it's away from racing, but as I say, it's just given us a chance to really do something good, and you know, it's something that's really close to my heart, and we're really looking forward to it, and I hope that everyone gets on board and embraces it once I launch it. But as I say, you'll have the exclusive when it does happen.
Good on you, Mick. Look forward to hearing it, mate. And, yeah, I'm excited to hear what it's all about a little later on. But tomorrow, geez, you've got a full book of rides, Nilly, and you've got some wonderful chances in some of the feature races. I remember having a chat to you a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you, what's one horse, Mick, that you're really looking forward to riding, that you've been working behind the scenes, that's been giving you a wonderful feel? And you said the filly, of course, that won the 1,000 guineas last year, Odium, was that horse. And we see her first up in the March Stakes tomorrow.
Yep, she's back stronger. She's going really well. She's ticked all the boxes so far. And Mick Price and Junior, they've just really got it going really well. And we pegged out this race a long time ago. Naturally, you know, usually a filly or a sprinter miler would step out first over a shorter trip, but it's a race that we penciled out with bigger goals ahead. So I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, she carries 54 and a half. She's drawn a barrier of one. It's really exciting times, I believe.
Ready Available goes around the Size Produce Stakes over the 1,400 metres, wide gate to overcome. But he's a talented two-year-old for Johnny Sargent, who sends his horse back down to Victoria for this feature two-year-old event at Group 2 level.
Yeah, I spoke to John. He's a horse that he has a lot of time for, and he's a horse that gets back anyway. And last time in Sydney, the track was wet, a surface that the horse struggles on. So hopefully we get a good track tomorrow, which I think we will. And I think the horse is going to run really, really well.
What did you make of Pinkham in that Group 3 event first up there at Caulfield the other day? And how she trained on after that, Mick?
Well, she showed her class qualities that day. I was very confident that she would go there and win. Obviously, everyone see that she pulled up with a little bit of a bleed internally. Any lesser horse wouldn't have run third. She's ran her second start after a layoff, after a spell. It's in a black type race and she still ran third. So I think that shows how good she is. And obviously, Junior and Mick Price have had to monitor her work because of that too. So I'm quite confident that she'll run well.
In the Newmarket Handicap, you ride the Sydney Sider as well, standout. I think you can forgive him for that effort in the Oakley Plate when he drew the car park and he just had no luck whatsoever, Mick.
Yeah, he was back off the track and it was a race that you couldn't win from where he was. He struck a little bit of traffic. His work's been good. I've galloped him a couple of times. And I know if he brings his A-game, it's a race that isn't as taking.
Quantum Mechanic goes around that feature mare's race, race number 7 on the program at Group 3 level. Have you been on her back after a good effort to win last start?
I haven't actually, but I wrote her last rep at the end of it when I ran second at Flemington. She's consistent. She's going well. Mick and Pryson Jr. are very happy with her. She's run a nice barrier. And it seems a good race for her to hopefully snare some black time.
You're back with your old mate once again in the Australian Cup Harlem. You know how to get the job done on this day. Lindsay Park have got a wonderful record in the Australian Cup. Is he the forgotten horse in a way? He's at $31 with the tab at the moment. Is he going good enough to win an Australian Cup?
He sure is. His run the other day when I rode him was super. I thought it was better than the run leading into the Australian Cup when Jamie Carr rode him, when I was suspended. So I think the horse is flying. I think Ben and Tom have really got him going well. And he's definitely the forgotten horse.
All right, then. And Selfless in the last. Should we put Selfless into our quaddies, that three-year-old filly there for Ellerton and Zara there in that final event? And that's a pretty handy three-year-old filly's race too to conclude the program, the CUNY Stakes.
It sure is. You know, McPrice had the option of running her in Adelaide Monday, but she's drawn out and she's got a few other targets in Adelaide. So it's sort of going to be too hard to do sort of four trips to Adelaide for her. So look for her to be sitting midfield and really getting home late as she does.
Great book of rides, Michael Walker, tomorrow. What is Cuz's best?
I can't go past Odium, can I?
Yeah, race 3, number 5, Odium. What a star she is. Can't wait to see her back at the races, mate. Looking forward to hearing a little bit more about that project that you're working on. I think it's exciting. Well done with that. And we'll catch up with you later on to talk about that. But best of luck tomorrow, mate.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I can get some over the line for the punters.
There we go. There's Michael Walker. Always great to catch up with him. It's great to see him have a handy book of rides as well. He hasn't had the greatest of opportunities over the last 12 months, but when he gets that opportunity, he makes the most of it. But now he's being rewarded for his hard work of recent times with a great book of rides there at Flemington on Super Saturday. Talking about a man that's got a great book of rides, the Wizard from the West, William Pike, joins us now. Good morning to you, Pikey.
Morning, Gareth. How are you going?
Good, thank you, mate. Geez, you got some nice rides in Angel of Truth in the Australian Cup and Celebrity Queen, the last start winner in that Group 1 Oakley Plate. Of course, she dead-heated that race. First of all, with Celebrity Queen, the bar plates go on her with that announcement with Racing Victoria this morning. Is that a concern for you?
I'm never really a fan of them, but It's not actually uncommon for her. She's had them on a lot throughout her career. I'm not a fan of them, but I know this horse has had them on a lot, and I think she'll be able to handle it just fine.
Is she good enough to win a Newmarket down the straight?
Yeah, I think she is. I think obviously September run comes up as a hard one to beat, but outside of that, I think it's a very open race, and I don't see why we can't, given the right run, I don't see why we can't scare them.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know basically until this meeting unfolds there at Flemington, but Barry 6, I guess, gives you a few options in a way, Pikey.
Yeah, it does a little bit. A few races that I rode in so far, the outside was playing a little faster. That's the way it felt out there, so if it stays that way, well, then 6 is probably not ideal. But if for some reason the middle's back on, well, then 6 brings you right into it as a good alley. So we'll know on the day and how the race, you know, how the day's unfolding.
You got a couple of really nice rides for Team Hawks, and one of those is Angel of Truth in the Australian Cup. What do you think of his chances? He wasn't too bad there in the Peter Young last time at Caulfield.
No, I thought he was quite good, actually. I thought his last furlong was really good. He closed out the race real nice. Sat back and worked the line just nice. Looked like a perfect lead-up run for this race. So, yeah, I thought I was pretty happy to pick the ride up, and Team Hawks have been real good to me. They've given me opportunities, and they've thrown me another one here. So hopefully I can take it and make the most of it.
Geez, you were brave. Bella Nipotina was brave with you aboard last week. Can she go one better in a handy race there in race number 5 on the card?
Yeah, look, she was very brave, and unfortunately we couldn't quite hang on, but yeah, she was fantastic. I think I've drawn the right side this time. It's the outside silver place to be, so that works in our favour. Pretty handy race, but she's going good. I don't see why. If I can just get her to relax, she's just a little bit hot early in her race last week. So if I can just get her to come back to me a little bit earlier, I might have a little bit more to finish with, and that could be the difference.
We had a chat to Wayne Hawkes with Wayne's World and RSN Central nearly a month ago now, Pikey, and he identified Cooled as a smoky maybe for a golden slipper at a big price. And he was nominated for Sydney and also Melbourne this weekend, but they decided to head to Melbourne for the size produce over the 1,400 metres. Do you know much about this two-year-old, and has Team Hawks had a chat to you about how promising Cooled is?
I haven't had a chance to catch up with them yet. I'll see them tomorrow morning, and we'll probably have a chat about it then. All I've seen is the replay, and look, he attacked the line really well late. Looked a little green on the bend, rounding the bend, but attacked the line really well. So I suppose it's if you've got class, you've got class at the end of the day. So I'll back their judgment. If they think he's got some class, then they're pretty good judges.
Yep, so kick him home for us, Pikey, if you wouldn't mind. Cooled there, race 4 on the Sire Produce Stakes. You've got Saltpeter. Holby is a wonderful chance in the March Stakes as well. What do you think's your best ride tomorrow, Pikey?
I need a day where I have a bit of luck. I've drawn a couple of sticky gates and a couple of different things I have, but I don't know, mate. This is Melbourne. This is your end. Your neck of the woods.
All right, then. We'll say Cool in the size produce, William. What about Tommy Shelby? He inspired you last week, the WA Greyhound taking out the Australian Cup. And I think he inspired Acadia Queen as well, looking at that jump out at Bendigo yesterday.
I went and seen Tommy Shelby. It was a good night out. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And Acadia Queen, she had a jump out at Bendigo, and yeah, she was good. She went through her pace as well, and obviously she looked impressive. It's hard to know what you're up against in those ones, but she did everything I needed her to do and stretched to the line well, and I think that'll top her off really nice for the All-Star. She'll have another piece of work at Mooney Valley, but I think that'll bring her on nicely.
Is she feeling better than she did leading up to, say, a Cox Plate last year?
By the time the Cox Plate and that come around, we'd ironed out pretty much all of her problems. So, not really, but probably comparing second up last prep to this prep, well, then she's definitely a mile in front of where she was at.
All right, Pikey, always great to catch up with you. We wish you the best of luck in those Group 1s, especially tomorrow afternoon at Flemington for Super Saturday.
Yeah, thanks very much, mate.
There's William Pike there. Yep, good luck, mate. There's William Pye. Craig Williams, he rides the favourite September run in the Newmarket Handicap.
I thought I was happy. I think the middle barrage horse obviously gives us options. Flemington's raced really well. It was interesting because the track had walked early in the day that the outside part would be not as effective as or an advantage as what the inside was, and we did see those two Perth horses dominate the race from down the outside, but they were the best horses in the race too, to be fair. So it'll be interesting to see how that track does play, and it's not the end of the day, so it's a middle card. So at least I think Barry 8 definitely gives me options with her where to go, but she's not the horse that makes all the running where we have to dictate where to go anyway, so it's just a matter of finding which group she needs to follow.
Yeah, she dominates the market there at $2.15 for the new market. Suturi, well, he loves the track and distance. He goes around as the top weight there in the new market handicap with 57 kilos on his back. This is what Simon Sarah had to say about his star sprinter.
Yeah, we've drawn in, which is, probably not quite ideal for him. He likes a bit of room and to get to the outside. So, up to Luke Curry, just to sort of wander a path and, we know Liam's going to have the track in great condition and, just looks to be good speed. He likes to just drop the bit, relax and obviously swoop. So, you can't probably give too many a head start, and he's got some horses, great horses behind him with lesser weight. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for him.
Troy Corstens and Leon Corstens prepare the other filly in the Newmarket Swats. That, let's hear what Troy had to say about her chances.
Yeah, I think it leaves us a few options. I think she's best ridden when we can flow with her. Obviously, we haven't beaten September Run yet, but we're very keen to do so, I can tell you.
Saab Hassan's living the dream with his sprinter, Serious Suspect, and he caught up with Michael Felgate also to talk about his chances in the Newmarket.
Yeah, that was the Barry I wanted. I know it sounds silly, but I felt that there would be 18 or 24 runners, and with 18 horses in the race, 14's great because it doesn't give a lot of horses a chance to go around me on the outside. He's got speed. It'll be a generally run race, and I think if they go hard and he can come off that fast tempo, that's when you'll probably see the best of him.
50 Stars is the favourite in the Australian Cup. Lindsay Park prepared his scalloper, and let's hear from Benny Hayes about 50 Stars' chances in the Group 1 Weight for Age 2000 metre event tomorrow afternoon.
I would have liked to draw 10, okay. 8, 10, because he's a horse that does enjoy his galloping room, but it's a minor thing. Johnny Allen will just need a bit of luck in running. I think from 3 he'll be able to settle a little bit closer instead of getting right back in the field. And normally with big fields, they do tend to stretch out a bit, and there is normally good tempo in Group 1 races. And on paper, with Holmesman and all those horses drawing out, I'm hoping there is good pace. So don't think it'll be an issue. We might need a little bit of luck at the top of the straight, but if he gets a clear running, he's got the runs on the board and the class to be able to win this race.
Paradis, this is the mare in form that just keeps on winning, and Danny O'Brien is heading to the Australian Cup with her tomorrow, and Craig Williams takes the ride.
And I think the Barry draw just gives me so many options that she's just going to have such an economical run, and she can make the most the advantage of having this barrier draw. So I spoke to my manager. I said, I call it the Harlem barrier draw. Because, yeah. When he's been successful in this race, he just had the perfect barrier draw. And that's what she allows me to do. And you are right. She's in sensational form. She really built up a great profile over her career as well now. But just having her with confidence from those two wins earlier in the year, being up on the Gold Coast and then coming back, she was targeted to running a mare's race. She's a mare's race on today's program, and that's where she's kicking off. But because she worked so well for Danny, he decided to run her in the Peter Lawrence last time, and he's proven correct by her victory.
And what a day it is in Sydney tomorrow. Randwick highlighted by the Group 1's Canterbury Stakes and also the Randwick Guineas. And can't wait for those two-year-old features, the Todman Stakes and also the Riesling Stakes. And Ronnie Duffersey joins us to help us back a winner there at Randwick tomorrow. Good morning to you, or afternoon to you now, Ron.
Yeah, good afternoon, Gareth. And, this is a sensational meeting. It could be plenty to talk about afterwards, that's for sure. There's plenty of good horses on show.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Where do we start with your better bets on this program?
Yeah, look, I think there's some good bets. I don't know if there's much value in the meeting. The race is 147. I think we can start off with the first favourite, Wild Ruler. He hasn't raced since the Coolmore in the spring where he ran third of September Run. So he, after winning two straight. So his two trial wins has him well set up. The weights, he suited at the weights here. He would set weights and penalties. Barrier one, either leads or just follows the leader, he'd be very hard to beat, I would have thought. Race one, number one, Wild Ruler. We can move along to race number four. Pretty keen here on this import, Mount Popper. He just loomed up and knocked up behind Shared Ambition first up there. So he's had a while to get over that run. He should be up to the mark, 2,000 metres second up. 2,000 metres second up last time is where he created the huge impression, bolting in at the track and distance. He'll race closer from barrier one, tagging the two Waterhouse Bot runners, and I think he's too classy. Race four, number seven, Mount Popper. And we can finish with the New Zealander Aegon in the Randwick Guineas. I'm pretty confident he's got the Hobartville horses covered. The mile will suit him better. There's good vibes about him since his last run, the way he's trained on. I think he just might have that X factor. Race 7, number 1, Aegon.
All right, then. What about, of course, in the other Group 1 of the day there on Saturday, the Canterbury Stakes? We've got Bivouac at 270. Is it his race there tomorrow, Duff?
I think so. I want to be forgiving 1,000 metres down the straight. You know, I think this suits him better where he can get into a rhythm and travel and finish off the way he can. And with all this speed on up front, I think it's him or his stablemate Savatiano. And I would have preferred Savatiano on probably with the jar out of the track at this level. So I think he holds all the aces, Bivouac.
All right, then, and can't wait to see Nature's Trip in the Challenge Stakes as well.
Yeah, that's a terrific sprint. And then we've obviously got this fantastic Todman Stakes. Will tell us a lot about the Golden Slipper as well.
So which way do you go with in the Todman there, Duff?
Each way, Animo. Yeah, I'm a fan of Animo. I've stuck with him all the way. I just feel, well, I think this Melbourne two-year-old form's good. You know, there's no reason to think it's not. And, you know, Profiteer proved that. And even Direct come to town and run a good race in the Silver Slipper. So I went 16-1 each way. Boy, oh boy. I've got to have a stick with the guns there and have something each way Animo.
Good on you, Ronnie. Enjoy tomorrow.
Thanks, Gareth.
Jeez, it's another wonderful book of rides for Tom Berry, and he's been good enough to join us once again here on RSN Central. Good morning or afternoon to you, Tommy. We appreciate your time as always, mate.
My pleasure as always. How are you, Gareth?
Good, thanks, mate. Geez, Doubtland's exciting. He meets Wild Ruler and some nice types there, and a mat in that first race. How is Doubtland going, this colt by not a single doubt in that first race?
Yeah, he's going really well. I don't really know a lot about him, but watching him race, this is the first time I've been on him. I rode him in a trial a week and a half ago and was very pleased with the feel he gave me. He's a horse that he enjoys to race off the pace. His best form seems to be on softer tracks, but, you know, the track was in good condition at Canterbury when he trialled, and, you know, he matched strides with Wild Ruler quite well. So, you know, there's a bit of speed in the race. He'll probably just sit back off them and, you know, he'll be hitting the line nice and strong late. But he's come back in great order, but I guess his first up run will suggest and will show us where he's at for the preparation.
What a race the Todman Stakes is. Profiteer, Animo, Home Affairs, Stay Inside, and you ride this exciting colt Remark. What are your expectations with him tomorrow in the Todman Stakes?
Well, it's sort of, he's got to win, obviously, to get into the Slipper. So, you know, there's a lot on the line for him. But, you know, bear in mind, he's had that setback, and it's very hard for two-year-olds to have setbacks and then come out and perform and obviously be at their best. But, you know, he showed no signs of track work during the week that he's not going well. He's definitely going as well as he can. I think that shows with the Hawks team pressing on with him. They're not overly hard on their two-year-old. So for them to step him out on Saturday, they're obviously very pleased with him. But he looks like he's just going to get the nice drop off, you know, Profiteer. He's drawn two, so I'll be able to get a nice card into the race. He's had a trial since. I was very pleased with that. So, yeah, he's a very exciting colt. And if he comes out and wins tomorrow, he'll obviously take some beating in the Slipper. But I think it's a race that, you know, could even well decide the Slipper winner.
Stard goes around in the third. She's on debut, this filly, by Sebring, trained by Team Hawks. Can she win a Riesling Stakes on debut, Tommy?
She's got a lot of quality. You know, she's a beautiful, big, strong filly. You won't find a nicer type in the yard, that's for sure. And she's very new, very raw, but she showed a great deal of improvement from her first trial into her second trial. And I feel like she's made, you know, a further improvement coming into the race Saturday. So she's drawn a bit awkward. There looks to be good speed in the race, but she's going to be a horse that could, you know, hopefully storm over the top of them later. I think she'll enjoy the big track at Randwick. And, you know, she's only starting off her campaign, but she's an exciting filly, and she's very well bred, obviously being related to Sunlight. So, you know, we'll find out a lot more about her on Saturday. But I think, you know, once again, with the Hawks team kicking her off in a race of this nature, shows what their thoughts are of her.
Geez, it looks a nice race for Mount Popper. I know Ron Duffacy is keen on his chances in race four, the Randwick City Stakes.
Yeah, I'd probably say he's my best ride of the day, only because you know, the race really maps well for him. He's drawn great. He's going to get a nice run just in behind the speed. Yeah, he's got a touch of quality about himself. He's got a good turn of foot on his day. He just raced very fresh first up over the mile, and he was a bit keen. But, you know, second up 2,000, he's had a nice foundation in between runs. And, you know, he's, you know, this track and distance last preparation, second up, he blew his rivals away. But, he's definitely much better now, much more seasoned, and you know he's got a pretty big autumn ahead of him, providing he runs well again on the weekend. But I've ridden him in work since, and I couldn't be any more pleased. So with a lightweight of 54 on his back, he's going to take some beating.
Can you beat Nature's Trip with this Boom filly written beauty in the Challenge Stakes?
Well, yeah, she's building a very impressive record, and she handled her rivals with content last start. With pretty much everything against her, she got herself into a pretty bad state before the race. She was excited to be there, and I remember getting to the gates thinking I'd already run my race, and then she went keen and got caught without cover, and she certainly gave her a couple of smacks with a stick, and she put them away quite comfortably. So she's done very well since that. It's definitely taken the edge off her, and she's been more relaxed at home. So I just really like what barrier she's drawn tomorrow. There's plenty of speed in the race, and but you know there's plenty of jockeys in the race, including James on the favourite Nature Strip. We've got to make a decision where myself, I can just sort of get her into a nice rhythm and let the field work itself out around me. And I know she's got a devastating turn of foot on her day, and you know, this is a big test for her to you know, where we're going to find out whether she'll head towards a Galaxy or a TJ Smith or something like that. But, it's definitely going to be a nice test for her tomorrow.
Aegon's the one to beat in the Group 1 round with Guineas, but Mwanga brings that Hayes form from Melbourne, different form lines here, and probably the only horse with the different form lines with Aegon, who defeated most of his rivals there first up in Sydney the other day. Have you got the horse and the horsepower underneath you to test this New Zealander?
Yeah, well, it's very hard to say because, he's a very laid-back customer, Mwanga, and he's very much like that in his work at home. So it's very hard to say how he's going, but you can only go off what you can see. And as you said, he in his first up run in Melbourne was quite impressive. I don't feel that any of the other horses that raced against Aegon can turn the tables on him. I thought he's very impressive on the day. Aegon's got to probably be on a dry track for the first time in his life. That's probably the only query with him. But once again, he looks like he's all quality. So my bloke's got the blinkers on the weekend, which will just keep him a little bit sharper. And he's drawn a good gate where he's going to get every opportunity to beat Aegon on the day. So I do feel that when he steps out to the 2,000 at the Rose Hill Guineas will be more to his liking. But, you know, I definitely can't fault him going into the weekend, and either can Annabelle or the team.
Masked Crusader was impressive first up, but I think everybody's been really looking forward to him getting to Group 1 level and taking on horses like Bivouac and Savitiano as well. Do you think he's ready to take that next step now?
Well, I think it's a perfect opportunity for him, Sue. He's always shown that touch at a class where we've thought he was up to that sort of level, but last preparation, nothing really went right for him at all. This preparation, everything's gone right so far. He was a very big winner first up in, you know, his first time being chucked into the deep end, and, you know, he handled him with content. And, you know, going into the weekend, once again, he's drawn very well with a bit of speed in the race, Dreamforce and a couple of others, Shemmered Out, who are real control freaks. So hopefully that puts a bit of speed into the race, and that will give him a good chance to relax because he can go keen in his races. And, you know, with the turn of foot he showed, and he showed that on a wet track. I've always thought he's going to be better on top of the ground, and he showed that in the past. So really looking forward to him on the weekend. He's it's sort of D-Day to see whether he's up to that sort of grade. And once again, if he is, he's a horse that could press on to, you know, a TJ Smith of the likes.
And Polly Gray, she's an each-way price, but she just could cap off a big day for T-Berry.
Yeah, hopefully. She's got a nice lightweight of 53 on her back, so that's really going to help her there. She's drawn awkward, probably going to have to get back from the gate, but Chris was very keen on her chances when he asked me to ride her at the weight. He said I don't really like riding 53 very often unless they're, you know, good chances. But Chris assured me that he thinks she is a great chance. And so, you know, I've committed to riding her at 53, and we'll see how she goes on the day. But she's she definitely, you know, put the riding on the wall first up to say that she'll run well again on the weekend.
Hey, brilliant insight, Tommy. We wish you the best of luck there at Randwick tomorrow. And I know that you're probably at Newcastle right now there for Newmarket Handicap Day. You ride Outrageous in that feature. What's your best ride for the day there, mate?
Outrage is going very well. He looks like he's going to be able to control the race, but the speed's been taken out of that. But I think he's an invincible star or something. I've got maybe race 4 or 5. Yep. I can't think of his name. It looks to be my best ride on the day. It's coming back from midweek form, and it's been very competitive there. So, but I've got a great book of rides. Hopefully I can, you know, cap off the day with a few winners and go into tomorrow with a bit of confidence.
You're a bloody superstar, Tommy. Go and get them, mate.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Take care, mate.
There's Tommy Berry there, racing at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Michael Maxworthy, good morning to you. Afternoon to you, Maxie. How do we back a winner there in Brisbane on a Saturday afternoon?
All right. Well, all of the limelight is in the south, but we'll do our best. Race 4, number 6, She's the Boss. 1,400 metres, small field. Tempo is the key. However, she's got a nice turn of acceleration on her. If it happens to be a bit of a dawdle, she can dash quickly. So I think she's a safe way to go. In race 4, number 6, She's the Boss. Then in race 7, Gareth, we're going 8, Hallowed Girl. Now, all these horses are familiar faces. However, she's the progressive one, the one that's likely to go forward over the next 6 months. She likes to relax and come with a strong run. She did that last start here at Eagle Farm, gets an extra 200 metres. So it looks good for her to wind up and beat them in race 7, number 8. And then in the last, race 9, number 1, Georgie's Pride. She goes forward here. Now, she did bump into a really talented 3-year-old in Miami Fleiss last start. Prior to that, she'd won twice here at Eagle Farm. So this, to my way of thinking, is a big drop back in grade for Georgie's Pride. Her opposition have been racing well, but mainly through the provincial and country ranks where she has dead-set metropolitan form. So she's the other good thing on the card, 9-1. So in summing up, 4-6, 7-8 and 9-1. Gareth?
Great work, Maxie. Geez, you're seeing them well at the moment as well. We wish you the best of luck.
Okay, thank you, G. Bye-bye.
There's Michael Maxworthy there. Nadia Hornies are her better bets for Morphville tomorrow. Race 5, number 4, Anika. Annixton, race 7, number 10. And race 8, number 2, Cougars. So race 5, number 4. Race 7, number 10. Race 8, number 2. Her selection's there at Morphaville tomorrow. Peter Antonis, it's a big day in the West. Bunbury Cup Day, Bunbury Stakes Day. How do we back a winner there? Good morning to you, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth. This is an outstanding card. It's probably the best card I've seen in WA since, early January, I would say. It looks really good. I'm wrapped for the Bunbury Turf Club because they've put obviously a lot of eggs in this basket, and hopefully it pays off with what should be a cracking day's racing. I'm going to start off in race 3. There's a horse here called Alpha and Omega, which won first up, and it doesn't necessarily have as high-profile form lines as a few of the other rivals. We saw Vedette the Star win to Simon Miller first up, and it was very impressive, big flashing light, and it's short enough, I think, at $2.30, but Alpha and Omega at around the $7.50 mark, I think the market will come for this runner. We've seen it produce some really good figures last prep, and it's formed behind horses like Blow Me Out, Smashing, Time Scale. They were all pretty good form races, so I'm expecting Alpha and Omega to start shorter than the $7.50 on quote.
All right, then, for Stephen Wolf and Sean McGrady, then where do we go?
We'll go to later in the card, just bringing it up. Race 7 it is. My best on the card is Pleto. It just wasn't suited last start, just got itself into a little bit of an awkward spot. I also thought the jump from 1,200 up to 15 second up might have been a little bit too much for it. It's having its third start for this preparation at 1,400. The horse went really well, recording its peak figure third up last prep. It does have a fair amount of talent, and it just maps quite well. There's a few of the rivals here, say Bone Me, for instance, who was short in the market. Actually, it's just come out, I see. It's been scratched. But Phone Me was going to get back in the field. There's a few others as well that look short. Amelia's Contrere hasn't shown too much gate speed as well. And then Living the Dream's putting together some interesting form lines, but they just all seem a little bit short for me. I'm happy to stick with Pleto around the $4.60 mark.
All right, mate. We wish you the best of luck, Pete. Thanks for that.
Beautiful.
It's a big night there at Tabcourt Park, Menangle. It's New South Wales' biggest night in the trots, highlighted by the $1 million Miracle Mile. Also, the Derby is at Group 1 level, and Clayton Tonkin and Emma Stewart have three strong chances in that feature event. Let's hear what Clayton Tonkin had to say regarding his best chance in the New South Wales Derby.
The way the barrier draw falls, I think Acnell is a real live hope because I think he can get across. because he can really leave the arm good, and it seems to play in favour if you're a little bit wider at Menangle at 2,400 metre start. I just hope he settles, because last week he didn't settle, and then, to be honest with you, he got run down, but the way the race was run, he really had to, he made it set up for Sal's horse a little bit, because they just went so solid. And he sort of, they said when he got out in the track, he didn't relax in the prelim and that. It was his first time, and he's usually a really sort of casual horse. Then Idyllic, I think, is probably the best horse in the race, but he's drawn the worst. And Jack's Hawk is probably just a little bit, he's probably about a little bit below them two.
All right, then. So that's the thoughts there from Clayton Tonkin. For Act Now, you can get in the Derby. Pretty good each-way price for Act Now at the moment. In the Derby, around $6.50. So he might be worth a bet in that feature event. In fact, he's into $6 right now. King of Swing dominates the market. He's $1.45. And the Million Dollar Miracle Mile. Let's hear from his driver, Luke McCarthy.
Like, obviously, in any of these big races, if you're in front and, on a good horse, they're always hard to beat. But he has proven in the past he's versatile. He's won with a sit. He raced outside Lochinvar in the Hunter Cup and, never give up and kept trying right to the line. His own mile was super that night. So, I don't think he has to lead, but ideally that would be, what I'd like to do.
And it's a terrific meeting at Menangle, a host of Group 1s. My best on that program, Mark Shard, $2.70 now in that free-for-all. I think it'd be mighty hard to beat there for McCarthy's as well. Terrific meeting at Melton to support the Menangle meeting around the country tomorrow night. Dan Malecki's ready to go to help us back a winner there at Melton. Good morning or afternoon to you, Dan.
Hello, Gareth. Yes, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good program. There's plenty of nice horses going around, some progressive types as well, and a handy enough free-for-all. How do we make some money there at Melton on a Saturday night?
Okay. Look, I thought in the first race, I think They Want to Know will be very hard to beat, particularly from the draw now that it comes into barrier number one. It's got the gate speed to hold up. It's the right sort of race. And I thought she was quite capable of going all the way here, Gareth, in the first race. One horse, two, They Want to Know. I think the best of the night, I thought, was Sunny Weaver. This is a horse with you and I. We've both had a pretty good opinion of it early on, and I think at different times we've sort of wavered, thinking it was a real good horse. Maybe we overrated it, but it's been super impressive, and it's two runs back. And the race shape here could well be the same as last start at Geelong, when Bonsell Benjamin worked across lead. Sunny Weaver had pegged. It may well be a similar scenario to that, but... I think that's the best I've seen Sunny Weaver go, and he's my best. Race 5-3. It's a good race, though, Sunny Weaver. You in agreeance there? What are your thoughts on Sunny Weaver? Because I know you've been a fan.
I think he needs the race to work out in his favour. So if he can get a cross roll over and sit, say, on a horse like Maestro Bellini, if it gets away, or even a Bonzel Benjamin, he'll be hard to beat. But he does need a touch of luck. $1.90, I think it is right price. If I'm interested to see how roll over goes from that draw. I think Aaron Dunn could have a big day at the office. But I think, I agree with you, Sunny Weaver. And I think he's come back a better horse as well, Dan. I mean, he was impressive there the other day.
Certainly was. He's a very good sit sprinter, but he has improved, I think. Other one I thought might end up being my the value of the night. I think she's going really well, and she's at peak now, and she's ready to win and finds the right race. Race 10, number 6, Moonshine Linda Garrett. David Miles had her this preparation, and he's getting to know her, and she found the line strong last week, and I think she is spot on and is good value in my eyes. Race 10, horse number 6, Moonshine Linda.
Yep, I agree with you there. Each way at $5. So what's your very best on the program, Dan? And we'll get your quality tomorrow, of course, on RSN's Race Day program.
I think Sunny Weaver is, and that will be in the first leg of the quaddy, the main quaddy at least, 7:30. So my best is race 5, horse 3, Sunny Weaver. But it's, like you said, it's a good program. There's almost a horse every race that I'm keen enough to sort of push you into. So it might be a good betting program.
Good luck, Dan. Catch up with you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's a living legend, Emma Leckie. George Ferugia joins us to preview this Horsham Cup meeting. And Shimmer Shine, well, he dominates the market here, George, at $1.40 for this Country Cup. And he leads the market from Jack's Bale. He has to jump from box number 7, but he does look tough to beat if he can do what he did in the heat.
Tell you what, Gareth, they haven't been scared of the $1.50, have they? They've just keep backing him in now into $1.40, mate. And, yeah, look, I think Jack's Bale looks the nominal issue here from box one. I mean, we know he's already won a Country Cup. He can get out and go. But Shimmer Shine is certainly drawn where he wants to be. A lot of people think that he's probably unbeatable in it. But this is Greyhound racing, so we know those sort of things don't happen. But look, he's very, very short, and he should be winning his first Country Cup after breaking his fourth track record the other day. So just early on in the program, Gareth, we're keen on one, race one, number 4, and that greyhound is called Weblex Scout. He's had a couple of good placings at the Meadows more recently, and his last start at Horsham, he was a little bit unlucky. His runs at the Meadows suggest that he's got some ability. I think he comes from a litter that's going places. We're happy to take him. The odds aren't out yet for that, but race one, number 4, is the one we're keen on. If you're having a play on the quaddy, Gareth, 1, 3, 4, and 8 into 1, 2, 3, and 6 into 1 and 7 into 1, 6, and 7 to bring us home. So, yeah, really looking forward to watching Shimmer. There's also a very good consolation as well. So, a big meeting there at Horsham tomorrow night.
Who wins the consolation?
Well, look, it's a tough. Yeah. Look, he's definitely a chance. I do like old Rick and Bale as well.
Okay.
He's a very talented greyhound who's now back in form. We were pretty keen on Nangar Russ last week too, Gareth. We know how quick he can be. So, as I said, it's a really talented race. But old Rick and Bale probably coming back to the form we know and love with him. He's a big chance, I'd say, off the red.
Love it, mate. Good luck, Georgie. $1.40. I love Shimmer Shine, as we all know. But $1.40 is a bit too short for old Shimmer Shine going into a final. He hasn't got the greatest strike rate. I know this is a Country Cup, but I hope he gets the job done. But $1.40, I'd be a little nervous if he was the last leg of my multi heading into a Saturday night.
I think you'll be right this time, Gareth.
All right, then. He's let me down a couple of times, by the way. Hey, good on you, Georgie.
Speak soon, mate.
There's George Ferugia there. And that wraps up. That's a massive Metro Form Express concentrating on the three.